From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Susan Yawkey reporting. Yemen rebels accept Saudi ceasefire plan. Houthi fighters in Yemen say they have accepted a five-day humanitarian ceasefire proposal from Saudi Arabia, set to begin Tuesday. Today's announcement came just hours after warplanes from the Saudi-led coalition bombed the residence of former President Ali Abdullah Saleh in the capital, Sana'a. Saleh was not believed to have been home at the time and later appeared on television standing in front of the rubble. Last week, the United States and Saudi Arabia announced plans for the ceasefire in Yemen, where the Saudi-led coalition is waging an air campaign against the Houthis, a northern Yemeni militia that overran parts of the country in recent months. President Obama will host a summit this week of the six Sunni-led member states of the Gulf Cooperation Council. Luis Ramirez reports Iran's influence in the region will be on the agenda.
For leaders of the Gulf country, scenes of Iranian-supported Houthi rebels overrunning Yemen's capital and driving out its U.S.-backed government this year were a sign of the rising threat from Iran. And they come to the summit seeking reassurances of U.S. backing. President Obama's argument is that negotiating a nuclear arrangement with Iran will by itself mean security for them.
I'm convinced that if this framework leads to a final comprehensive deal, it will make our country, our allies, and our world safer.
But America's partners in the Persian Gulf region are not so sure. While no treaty will be signed, President Obama does plan to talk with the Gulf leaders about building up their defense capabilities. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the White House.
This is VOA News. A country that considers itself a human rights champion will have its record reviewed by the United Nations Monday. The United States will experience the universal periodic review that all 193 UN member countries must undergo every 4 years. The U.S. is likely to face tough scrutiny in Geneva, including questions about the recent string of police killings of unarmed African-American men. International organizations and non-government groups in Nepal are warning the devastation caused by the April 25th earthquake has left thousands of girls and young women vulnerable to human traffickers. Ron Corbin reports.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Nepal remain without shelter and possessions, leaving poor women and girls desperate and vulnerable to human traffickers, say activists. Non-government organizations, NGOs, say the criminal networks are especially targeting Nepal's rural communities, even using the cover of relief efforts to kidnap or lure women away. The United Nations says up to 15,000 girls are trafficked each year from Nepal, forced into sex work as far away as South Korea and South Africa, although the vast majority are lured to India, where thousands work in brothels. Anuradha Koirala, founder of the anti-trafficking organization Maite Nepal, says children are especially vulnerable amid the ongoing attention on relief and rehabilitation. Ron Corbin for VOA News, Bangkok, Thailand.
The World Health Organization has declared Liberia free of the Ebola virus. The move comes after Liberia reported no new Ebola cases for 42 days. Luke Bawo is Liberia's Minister of Health and Social Welfare.
This is the national milestone. We have achieved it. And the second part is maintaining vigilance throughout till our neighbors also attain 42 days without a new confirmed case.
Sierra Leone and Guinea are each still reporting new cases of Ebola. The virus has killed nearly 11,000 people, most in West Africa. Cuban President Raul Castro visited the Vatican today to personally thank Pope Francis for the pontiff's efforts in ending 5 decades of tensions between the United States and Cuba as the two countries resumed diplomatic ties. The Cuban leader met with the Argentine-born Francis for nearly an hour as the two men spoke in their native Spanish. Francis, the leader of the world's Roman Catholics, was instrumental in the secret negotiations between Havana and Washington that led to the announcement in December that the two countries are taking steps to reopen embassies. And today is Mother's Day in the U.S. and scores of other countries around the world. Mother's Day is a time to celebrate and appreciate all the work that women do. According to the History Channel, Mother's Day became an official U.S. holiday in 1914. Happy Mother's Day. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.